step right up and gather around. Tall folks, kindly at the back, please. I am Professor Gruntsplatter, and I'm the curator of this here spookatorium. Through these doors are wonders and horrors, maybe even a laugh or two. From the dark corners on every street today, all back through recorded time. You'll hear music and tales of the unknown, mysterious, and perhaps even diabolical. That's right, folks. There are strange things beyond this threshold. But if you weren't curious, you wouldn't be here. So, will you take a chance and come on in? Or will you saddle up to the concession stand and always wonder what you may have missed? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Professor Gruntsplatter's Spookatorium. There will be no refunds once you enter. Thank you for your attention, and the brave ones, come with me.
This is your life. This is your world. In a lullaby to a ghetto, where you murder boys and girls. Ashes of a butterfly on a blood-soaked wand, painted or decorated, absent and missing, like secret dreams and broken promises, like all our dead and thoroughbred. Let the absence of life begin to form an ash and diamond lake. Revisionist, rust torn and red. Black sun baked.
Da li si nekoga slavi tvoj narod ili nekako tvoj narod odlazi iz begove i beži sa svoje zemlje.
Thank you.
Greetings once again. This is episode 19 of Professor Gruntsplatter Spookatorium. I am your host, Professor Gruntsplatter. Opening the show up was Niadra Muratica with Vox Alimentus. Following that was Hate Policy from Econocon. After that, Lullaby to a Ghetto from Capo, which is a collaboration between Douglas P. of Death in June and Richard Leviathan of Strength Through Joy. And the last track there was Overheating Passage from Iburn. Once again, I want to remind you of the Spookatorium website at www.spookatorium.org. There's the Flickr group that has a bunch of cool photos from different people that you can link to from there. There's about 150 some members now and 600 some photos, I think. As far as what's been on the website since the last show, I've got a piece up there about a video that appeared about a year or so ago, so it's been around for a while. It was shot in Mexico, and it's believed to be footage, or it's alleged to be footage of a flying humanoid. The silhouette of this entity floating across the horizon that sort of bears the resemblance to an outline of a witch on a broom. So there's a Mexican news story there that's got subtitles that reports on it. There is a video of someone dissecting it and sort of looking at it closer to see if they can determine what it is, because it's not clear from the video. And then there's also a clip there of a military apparatus that is strikingly similar looking to what's on the video from Mexico. So have a look at that. I thought it was interesting because you don't often see claims of flying witches on video. And even though I think it's probably explained in another way, I still thought it was interesting, and you can check that out. Here in the cobwebbed corridors of the Library of Curios and Oddities, the relics and tomes of imagination and secret knowledge await your inspection.
So, Dr. Adam Hewitt, are you amazed by this book?
Yes, I am very amazed, and I would even say that I'm startled by it. I mean, it's a puzzle. It's an enigma. I mean, do you understand what I mean? I mean, how can an old book possibly affect the mind of its reader in a way he or she goes nuts? I know the book represents a risk, but it also represents a most intriguing parapsychological challenge, and I'm fully aware that this is something that has to be researched, and I will scrutinize this.
That was an excerpt of an interview with a Dr. Hewlett in regards to a book known as Orogor, The One Who Waits, or it's also known as The Prophecy of Orogor. The book is alleged to have been written in 1732 and is billed by one website as the most horrifying book ever written. The legend goes that the book details a world ruled by the Antichrist, and that it is so terrifying that should one read it, they will quickly become insane or die. The website is called evilbook.org.uk, and it's run by a Danish freelance writer, and it claims to be researching the origins of this book to unravel the mystery, and this person who's run the site has posted to numerous forums and also added videos to YouTube of these interviews of those who are supposedly aware of this book. Like, for instance, this guy.
I got dizzy every time I read a passage from it. I mean, I just got scared and it frightened the shit out of me. And then, I mean, and just like the fucking book, I mean, like, every passage, I mean, everything that I read, I mean, it happened. I mean, it's like, fuck. I mean, it's like, I don't know what to say. I'm almost at a loss of words, but yet, I mean, I wish I hadn't even tried, you know, picking up this fucking thing, I mean, because it scares the shit out of me every time I think about everything that I read and everything that I experienced. I mean, I warn you, don't read the thing. It'll make you crazy. Don't fucking read the thing, because you'll go nuts. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. This is a fucking nightmare that I live, and I would not wish it on anybody. But, I mean, I'm want to get rid of the fucking thing. I wish I could just get rid of the fucking thing, give it away to somebody. But, I mean, I can't give it to anybody. Who? I mean, I want to burn it. I want to fucking destroy the book. I want to get rid of it. I want it out of my life. Every time I think of it, I'm overwhelmed with fear. And it scares the shit out of me. And, I mean, I... Don't read this thing. I bet you do not fucking read the book.
The site claims that, quote, contemporary records, unquote, confirm people have died attempting to read it, but posts no source as to what those records are or who would keep such records in the first place. It also alleges that untold copies were burned and destroyed, but that a copy has surfaced and it's in the possession of the chief psychiatrist of the parapsychology department at a leading neuropsychological research hospital in the southwest part of England. That hospital is unnamed. Claims that the writings from the book come true for those who read it, and that shapes appear and bizarre events unfold during its study are alleged as well. There's a diary, supposedly, that surfaced that's related to the book that claims to detail some of the aftermath of a family that was in possession of the book, and ultimately they all died, but one of them on a farm in Normandy. The site purports to have some photos related to the farm incident, but there are no dates to be found or any substantive information about any of it. To me, this whole thing looks like a marketing ploy for a Danish horror novel, as I couldn't find any independent sources inquiring about or even mentioning the book. Only forum posts either started by the host of the site or others asking about the site as to whether or not it was legitimate or not. I did, however, find this on the Unsolved Mysteries forum in a thread about people's favorite books. And this is a quote. To me, it's the Prophecy of Beauregard, no doubt. Unfortunately, it's written by a Danish writer and has not yet, I think, been translated into English. But having lived there for a few years in Denmark, I know some Danish and I have read it. It's terrific and downright horrifying at the same time and really, really scary. Furthermore, it demonstrates that what most other horror stories don't, a very fine sense of humor. I hope it will soon be out in English, but I do admit that the translation could be difficult since part of it is written in an old kind of language. That was from October of 07. So it looks like this whole thing appears to be a thinly veiled Lovecraftian hoax, with the research on this so lacking in actual research and concrete information. The book review, it all sort of pieces together to be an imaginative way to generate interest in a fictional work. And some are suggesting it's a reference to a book by somebody named Palle Vibe, written in 1978 that was never published, called Beauregard's. And that person, Palle Vibe, if that's how you say it, is also the owner of the domain evilbooks.org.uk. I also found it interesting that the webmaster is Danish. The book is being secretly kept in an English hospital, an English hospital that happens to have a parapsychology department whose chief psychiatrist happens to use clinical terms like make people go nuts. Yet the two interviews that have appeared both feature Americans who make no reference as to any specifics of what is in the book aside from fear and horror. So it's an interesting idea, to be sure, but ultimately it seems like a poorly plotted fraud, I am afraid. I couldn't find any admission to the hoax, though, and all references, even on the English version of Wikipedia, were removed for lack of supportive information. If you have any additional info, or if you've read the fictional book mentioned, please let me know. That set ended with Evolved as One from Napalm Death. Before that was Venom with Rip Ride, my favorite Venom song, and Head of David, It started that off with Ditch Water. We find ourselves in the Spookatorium Portraiture Gallery, home to all manner of askew personality and the eccentric characters of history. Listen close as we delve into their stories. The estimated death toll of the European witch hunts sits at approximately 50,000 people. The murder of alleged witches began to trail off after about 1650. However, nearly 130 years after it had fallen out of vogue, the small Swiss town of Glarus executed Anna Goldie in 1786 as a witch. When they beheaded her with a sword, it earned her the title of the last witch of Europe. Zurich journalist Walter Hauser unearthed some forgotten documents while researching a book on Goldie that indicated that she wasn't involved in witchcraft at all. She was instead a live-in maid who was apparently sleeping with some of the most politically influential men of the day, many of whom were much younger than herself. There is speculation that she became pregnant and left for Strasbourg to avoid scandal. There she found work with another family of influence, that of Dr. Johann Schutte. The story goes that he made advances towards her, which she refuted, and chose to bring her allegations to the church, which would threaten his position as in society and his future as a doctor. Schutte countered her claims by declaring that Goldie had made one of his children violently ill and caused the child to vomit 100 needles. He cried witch. Anna tried to duck town, but was ultimately arrested and tortured. Under torture, she admitted to having entered into a pact with the devil, who she said appeared to her as a black dog. When the torture ceased, she recanted her confession and was tortured a second time until she confessed again. Her trial for witchery was high spectacle for the day, complete with leaked documents and as much public chaos as you could generate in that day and time. She was officially convicted of murdering her second child, who died shortly after birth. This child was believed to be the result of her interactions with Schutte. But the tales of witchcraft and torture that surrounded her and her ultimate execution inspired outrage throughout Switzerland and among the Holy Roman Empire. Since then, her name has become synonymous with injustice, and a movement was formed to have her posthumously exonerated. As of yet, that hasn't happened. There is, however, now a museum in Switzerland that commemorates her life, torture, and trial, as well as the literature and art that was inspired by her story. So, the public opinion has elevated her memory beyond that of a witch, though they seem content to remember her as a tramp, which seems to frequently be the case when we dig into stories of executed witches. It's not that the women were involved in witchcraft or anything sinister, but rather that they came in contact with men who made the women pay for their own miscalculations.
Ich trinken kann, ich weiß meine Zunge und trinke, was ich kann.
Öffne eine Ampeltür.
Mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf.
Leer,
ich bin
leer, ich höre nichts. Keine Nummern, keine Zahlen.
Ich bin
das Fragezeichen.
Ich bin
schreit mich an.
Ich bin
nichts von drin.
Ich bin
nichts wie raus aus diesem Traum.
Ich bin
ja, ja, ja.
Mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf!
Leer,
ich bin
leer,
ich bin
nothing leer,
ich bin
die Reine leer,
ich bin
offenbar,
ich bin
nichts als Licht,
ich bin
null Komma nichts,
ich bin
ist ein neuer Tag,
irgendwo,
nur nicht hier,
ich bin irgendwo. Öffne eine lange Tür,
mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf!
Nicht leer,
ich bin
leer,
ich bin
nothing
leer.
Leere Menge,
ich bin
ohne Elemente,
leere
Menge, ohne Elemente,
ich bin
alle Elemente in Aufruhr bringen,
ich bin
ein Wesen sacken,
ich bin
Feuer anfachen,
ich bin
hier zu in diesem Zimmer.
Mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf, mach nicht auf!
Hallo! auf, mach mich auf, mach mich auf.
Ich bin's, ich bin's.
Mein Gast wartet.
Ich bin's, ich bin's.
Wartet schon lange.
Ich bin's,
nichts.
Ich bin's.
Macht es im Schrank.
Ich bin's,
nothing.
Ich bin's.
Macht es geduldig.
Nee. Ich bin's.
Mein Gast wartet.
Nichts.
Ich bin's.
Nee.
Mein Gast will nicht gehen.
Nothing.
Ich bin's. Mein Gast wartet.
Nee.
Aber das tötet mich nicht. Solange meine Mitte noch leuchtet. 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 Solange meine Mitte noch ungefähr leuchtet. Solange meine Mitte noch ungefähr leuchtet. Solange meine Mitte noch ungefähr leuchtet. Mach mich auf.
Mach mich auf.
Mach mich auf den Weg.
Look at her, you can tell. Stupid man, down on your-
Okay, you're listening to Professor Grunsplatter's Spookatorium. That was Def Master with the pusher mix of a track called The Fear of God. If anybody knows where I can find any Def Master full-length records, shoot me an email. The email address is professor@spookatorium.org, or you can leave a comment on the blog at spookatorium.org, www.spookatorium.org. I've got a 7-inch, and I've got a CD single of the same stuff that's on the 7-inch with an extra track, which is what that song was from. But I haven't been able to track down any full-length albums, so if you know, let me know. Before that was Vane Cage with Ego Testicle, and then opening the setup was Einstürzende Neubauten with Ich Bin's. Mind your fingers and toes as we step to the carousel of cryptids and creeping things that lurk in the shadows of history and along the back roads that stitch your neighborhoods together. In the mid-1700s, Erik Pontoppidan, the Bishop of Bergen, published the National History of Norway. In the book, he mentions a serpent creature known as the Lindrum, a large, almost dragon-like serpent with ties going back into Norse mythology. His belief was that these creatures were real and were actually born on land, and when they became too large to navigate the rocky coastlines, they retired into the sea and became an active and real part of the collective lore. Jumping ahead, 1885, a Swedish scientist and folklorist named Gunnar Hilton Cavallius published 50-some-odd witness reports of this very creature. According to his summary, the serpent measured 10 to 20 feet long, was as thick as a man's thigh, with a black body and a bright yellow underbelly. The neck bore a mane of hair, and with a sour attitude, the beast flashed a forked tongue through an imposing mouth of teeth. There was even a legend that to consume the shed skin of one of the Lindorm would increase one's knowledge of nature and medicine. Hilton Cavallius offered a reward to anyone who could capture or kill one of these beasts, but none ever came forward to claim the reward. And as time went on and the 20th century dawned and faded, the sightings and reports of the Lindrum decreased significantly. Around the same time as Pontoppidan's book appeared, across the North Sea and mainland Europe, another curious serpent beast came into the public consciousness. The Tatzelworm was first reported in 1779 and was believed to live among the Alps of Bavaria, Switzerland, and Austria. The name translates to worm with claws, and the descriptions vary widely, so widely that some cryptozoological experts believe it may have been two distinct creatures. It was believed to be anywhere between 2 and 6 feet long, with a serpentine body, 4 legs, each with 3 toes, a mouth full of sharp teeth, a blunt tail, and light skin. Then there are additional reports from some that it had a head more like a cat. This is the major discrepancy that leads to the belief that it may have been actually two creatures. There were even a few reports that claimed to have seen the creature fly, but those were limited. Science was divided between the possibility of some sort of weasel creature, thus the cat head, and some type of large lizard. The description, aside from the cat head, sounds very skink-like to me. Others have said if it existed, it may have been more akin to a Gila monster. Its temperament was somewhat docile, and it would frequently flee when confronted with humans, though there were occasions when it was reported to have attacked. A man named Hans Fuchs reportedly happened upon 2 Tatzelworms and became so frightened that he only had the energy to describe what he had seen to his relatives before he died of a heart attack. Other reports of farmers recovering one, there was a report of a 5-foot skeleton being unearthed. No specimens, though, ever made it into the hands of science for any sort of identification or verification. In 1934, an alleged photo surfaced, but it was rather quickly ruled a hoax. The general belief among cryptozoologists is that the Tatzelworm is not a real creature, but there's a great collection of reports and info over at cryptomundo.com from Austrian cryptozoologist Louis Schonher. That is well worth taking a look at, for curiosity's sake, if nothing else.
you'll die by a weeping heart.
Harbor lights, your hair an orange flame. Keep on driving.
That set ended with Pharmaceutical from Grotus. Before that was Deja Vu from Tiergarten. And opening it up was Locust Furnace from Godflesh. Once again, if you hear your track on the show and you don't want it on the show, let me know, and I will remove it. To get in touch, the email address is professor@spookatorium.org. You can check out the website at www.spookatorium.org. It's updated with stories, and there's a link to the Flickr group. There's a link to the forums there. Playing in the background today, we had the 11th track from White Noise for Black Rituals from Aesthetic Meat Front. Also Subworld from Nos, and underneath me now is The Blood From by Devil Lock. That's going to do it for this episode. Taking us home here is Black Ice from Dream Into Dust. Thanks for listening.
Intention makes no difference.